Kia ora tata. I think it's a moment that we should all stand and give our feet a bit of blood down there, and for 10 seconds, and I'll count the 10. 9, 10. Thank you. Kia ora, Robin. Selwyn, kia koro ko te rangatira in hōmai nei. Reflections of the Hui Taumata of 1984. Firstly, thank you, Sir Mason, and kia horua hoki, Selwyn, and your team for the invitation to open and share my reflections of those challenging years. And to you personally, Sir Mason, for having summarised the events of that time in your book, Te Mana, Te Kawanatanga, The Politics of Māori Self-Determination. Your chapter on the notions of self-determination and Māori development has served me well as a reminder of those times. Those two goals have remained paramount for me even to these times. Secondly, for marking 1984 as an important groundbreaking period in the chapters of the long historical journey of Te Ao Māori, since our Māori ancestors discovered this land to the signing of the Treaty of Waitangi of 1840 and to where we see ourselves today. You frame that period as a decade of development, and on reflection, indeed it was. You set a new horizon with Te Pairoa 2040 and hope the learnings from this conference will serve to set directions for the leaders of tomorrow. I'm happy to share freely my reflections of that historical period. As our Tipuna Seapira Nangata said on his formal retirement, having done your job, you are a free man. And at this stage of my life, that's exactly how I feel. Free to reflect on that period of my life with this rare opportunity of telling my story. Yes, I served at a national level in the public service in the role of the Secretary of Māori Affairs, 1983 to 89, as mentioned. Briefly under National, a Muldoon-led government in 1983. And then under Labour, Longy, and then Palmer-led governments. There was a sudden change of government in July 1984. The change was because of, well, it's termed a crisis of government, caused by a currency issue, the devaluation of the New Zealand dollar. I remember going to Hawaii in 1975, and the New Zealand dollar was worth $1.50 against the American dollar. So you can understand what devaluation means in this term here. And there was also an internal rebellion in the national-led government over the anti-nuclear issue. Marilyn Waring crossing the floor of the House to vote with Labour. And, of course, Marilyn was awarded a prestigious award the other day. But none of this seemed to register on us as Māori. Te Ao Māori, until the impact of Rogernomics set in. This was the restructuring of the public service. It was a drastic downsizing and affected the momentum of Māori achievements. I'll refer to that later. Thirdly, I want to acknowledge my predecessor, Karapukitapu, whose contribution to the ground-setting stage of Māori development of my time was significant. He was a rare leader in that he was a Māori trained in the bureaucracy of government. At that time, he returned from London as the senior public servant there to position of head of the Department of Māori Affairs. His contribution is best remembered by the change of the culture of the public service of New Zealand. I use the term Ngāna I Whakamāori. He brought Māori leadership into the public service and to the fore of the Department of Māori Affairs. He branded this change with the logo Tū Tangata and started annual Hui Whakatauira to bring Māori leaders, men and women, together to discuss and plan for the future of our people, Te Ao Māori. I remember this period well. He lured me into Māori affairs, that's how I put it, when I had not long returned from overseas, having completed a PhD. He disrupted my future in the discipline and science of linguistics, but I accepted the move from education to Māori affairs in 1981. Ignoring the advice from some quarters, it would be a backward step. Nevertheless, I took the challenge as one and was embedded into the culture of change occurring in the department serving our people. I never regretted that step. I should interpose, though, that education leadership under the Director General of the time, Bill Rennick, was already making changes to the culture of the Department of Education in the early 70s. Tūra, Royal and I were the Young Turks out in the field, especially in the secondary schools, preaching the gospel of te reo Māori and Māoritanga and engaged in designing policy. This was a tumultuous period with marches, the most famous led by Whina Kupa, protests by Māori University students, some of them sitting here, and Tamaiti, first making his mark by camping on the grounds of Parliament just across from us working in the old wooden building. Tamaiti. So here in the early 80s, at Kara's request, I wrote the Kohanga Reo policy, an overnight one-pager, based on the theory of total immersion, which stated simply, Kōrerotia te reo ki ngā makopuna e whānau mai ana. Speak Māori to the babies from birth. It was promoted as policy at the Hui Whakatauira of 1982 and accepted. Tilly, over here, now lady, and Sir James Henare gave it its name, Kohanga Reo. Eritana Tawhiwhirangi, who's absent, now Dame, was appointed by Kara to lead the program throughout the motu. Kara left for new challenges in 1983, and I was appointed as Secretary of Māori Affairs. So I now refer to the Hui Taumata 1984. Following the change of government, the new Minister of Māori Affairs, the Honourable Koroetere, held our first Hui Taumata, as been mentioned, and the objectives, the gathering of Māori leadership for policy and setting direction. It was an exciting time. The major policy thrust was outward looking, to serve our people, based on the Māori cultural ethos, the values and practices. We termed the process devolution, devolving responsibility and development initiatives outwards to our people. The Wero was at engaging Māori closely in development, planning and management, and assisted by the state, in this instance, by the Department of Māori Affairs. Not that the state had not been engaged in Māori development in the past. The difference was that Māori wanted a say in the direction and operations, the hands-on of policy. We continued the policy of appointing more competent Māori managers to the front line, note the term, borrowing such battle terms experienced by many of the Second World War Māori battalion veterans and leaders of the time. An attitude prevailed in the public service around that Māori who led in war were somehow not good enough to lead our people in peacetime. But the rest of the public service absorbed easily Pākehā officers and wartime leaders into senior public roles of the state. More Māori were appointed, we went to appoint them, especially with te reo Māori and cultural knowledge, qualities recognized as necessary for working in the Māori communities, country and the cities. The differences made to the lives of our people under the Minister Korowetere were significant. During my time and term as Secretary, it's best simply just to list the policy outcomes rather than the detail involved. Suffice to say that the long and drawn-out processes required to reach legislative change are some of the most challenging work of public service administration. The most important outcomes of my time were, and I'll just enumerate them, one, legislation for changes to the Waitangi Tribunal Act of 1975. The details of the challenges, especially by the New Zealand Māori Council in 1985, are well documented, and the amendment legislation allowing Māori to take claims against the Crown back to 1840. We know that this change to the legislation has been one of the most important initiatives that that Parliament has enacted for Māori. The Waitangi Tribunal settlement process, today and over the past 30 years, has marked a significant repair of damaged historical relationships between Māori and the Crown. Damage brought about the historical hunger of early settlers and Parliament to strip Māori land from under the feet of our Māori ancestors. This change to the Act has brought about truly monumental outcomes, and we've heard Dr. Sharples mentioning that the Māori economy is worth something in the 38 to 40 billion these days, and you can work out how significant that is when we learn that the GDP of the country at the moment is something like 200 billion, so 40 over 20 is what, 1/20? 1/4, 1/5, 20%. 20%, and we are what, 15% of the population. This change to the Act brought about truly monumental outcomes. Yet still, we're demonized today by some New Zealanders as handouts and racial favoritism, rather than fulfilling Treaty of Waitangi obligations. The second outcome, the Māori Language Act of 1987, to legitimize Māori language as an official language in its own land. This gave impetus to the establishment of Kura Kaupapa and subsequent Māori language programs in the education system. The passage of the Act removed another stigma perpetuated by the Crown. Māori language shall not be used in the education of Māori, and this was ordained by the Education Edict of Gray's Ordinance as far back as 1847. Today, the survival of Māori language is still a challenge for Māori and for the pride of our nation. Number three, returning of Māori land under development schemes run by the Department of Māori Affairs to Māori ownership control. This was another significant policy, though more driven by the government's need to cut spending than any altruistic motive for bettering the state of Māori land. I was personally involved in many of these land blocks handback. A memorable incident occurred when, on the exchange of courtesies at a marae, the kaumātua accepted the return of their lands with these words. Tēnā koutou e whakahoki mai nei I tō mātou hoiho. I te haere ngā atu ki a koutou, i haere mā atu. Greetings on the return of our horse. When it was handed over to you, it was clean. However, as it returns now to us, we see that there is still a scab on its back. The scab was reference to the debt incurred by the department, which had not been totally cleared by the Crown on its back, as it had done so with Crown lands leased to Pākehā farmers in the South Island. Number four, the Iwi Runanga Act of 1989. The focus on iwi development led to the establishment of several runanga whose function was to provide for tribal authority for the land for the handover of resources for the programs agreed to by the state under devolution. This act was repealed immediately by the new Minister of Māori Affairs in the change of government in 1991. Ironically, the current Waitangi Tribunal settlements are modelled on the Iwi Runanga Act, operations under Māori, iwi autonomy, but still subject to the authority of the state. Number five, continuation of upscaled social programs. Māori housing continued unabated. Where's Robin? Robin was the director of Māori housing back in those days. But eventually, this was absorbed in the state housing program. Matua Whangai is some of the leaders over here. A flagship whānau program was vigorously promoted. And providing more funding for kohanga reo as the numbers rocketed upwards, so much so that the program was transferred to the Department of Education for funding. Six, establishing new economic initiative, mana grants. Anenga tohunga noho maine. I think Wira Gardner and Neri Peko led that program for us. For business developments, the establishment of a Māori bank followed. It's called the Māori Development Corporation, which started well, but ended in a rather unspectacular fashion. And then the establishing of a funding base for the Federation of Māori Authorities. Koro said at one of our hui there, kai he te moni ma te iwi ni, me to kai āhoera, kai roto I tō pek. So he put aside 30 million like that to set FOMA on its pathway, which still operates today. All programs, of course, needed to be funded by the state. How? The Department of Māori Affairs had a budget of 57 million when the baton was passed on to me. But by the time the meetings with other departments, social welfare, justice, education, treasury, met to implement the strategic intent of the program, some 260 million had been identified as potential transferable expenditure through the Department of Māori Affairs for Māori development. It did not happen. From my perspective, two events prevented the move forward. Firstly, the government's decision under Rogernomics to cut spending by downsizing the public service. And secondly, the Māori loans affair. Rogernomics was dubbed the axe. The huge Department of Public Works felt the first chop. Thousands were laid off, and then followed by other departments. The Department of Māori Affairs was reduced from 1,100 staff to 600. And I remember the seemingly interminable piles of letters I had to sign personally and painfully. However, the brighter side was many who received the letters of termination were able to go to further university educational opportunities paid by the state, negotiated by the PSA. The following year, the policy was chopped by the government. Nevertheless, it gave many Māori qualifications for better and newer career directions. Amidst all of this period of Maori development, I was fighting a personal battle because of what became labelled publicly as the Maori Loans Affair. This too has been well documented and scandalised as my arrogant attempt to seek overseas finance for Maori development. There had been no secretive machinations because I had made it known to the Board of Maori Affairs, to the Minister of Maori Affairs, and to the CE of Treasury of my intention to find out whether the overseas $600 million for Maori development was real or not. What seemed to me was a simple task that needed confirmation suddenly became a scandalous affair that hit the headlines. Insinuations of personal gain were trumpeted. The Prime Minister was incensed by the embarrassment and launched the State Services Commission on an inquiry which threatened to end my career. Yet the support I met for this initiative came from Maori leaders, phone calling, some visiting personally. The first one to visit me, and I might mention his name here since Tumu is here, was his dad. He was the first one to come and visit me, Sir Happy Te Heuheu, to give personal support, and Titi Whai Harawira, who came to my office to register her support. Many have passed on whose memory I cherish. My greatest support in this turmoil was Tilly. Her faith helped me to make the decision to challenge what appeared to be unjustified, defamatory, and a threat to my career, since I had embarrassed the government. I did repulse the threat, though, through my legal challenge, which was, let's go to court. That stopped the momentum, and my legal expenses were met by the state. I just kept focused on my work, even with the overhang of negativity that event had created in my life. I kept my mental equilibrium. I think this is important for many of us to understand, by being physically fit with my engagement in marathon running at the time, which was a huge part of my health regime, and a view of life also based on Te Hiringa I Te Mahara, the power of the mind. You'll find it in Ngā Mō Te Atea, Part 3, by Ngata Waiata 201, verse 5. And just celebrating our lives with our ever-increasing whānau. I continued to work as diligently, let me find the final page, faithfully as I could to the objectives of Tino Rangatiratanga and Mana Tuku Iho, and as circumstances would allow me throughout the remainder of my public service career. I retired from the public service as the Secretary of Maori Affairs. I was pleasantly surprised, Robin says here, by being awarded the 1990 Commemorative Medal for Services to the Public of New Zealand by the government. This restored my faith in the achievements of my career and the contribution we made to this part of the development of Māoridom and of our nation, Aotearoa. I wish all of those who carry the torch of Mana Tuku Iho, Tino Rangatiratanga, and Te Tiriti o Waitangi all the very best in their endeavours in the decades ahead. Thank you, Mason. Kia kōrua. Selwyn. Ko te pae tata kia mau. Ko te pae tawhiti kia tata. Hold fast to the horizon gained. Haul in the distant horizon, to discover destinations unknown. Rangi Mete Kingi was the first I heard use that. And of course, Tilly and I love the waiata. Mawera e taurima te marae wahone, the eternal question. Who will nurture the hallowed ground before us? And the eternal answer is mā te tika, mā te pono, me te aroha. Truth, faith, and love. Kia ora tātou.